The COVID pandemic that gripped the world throughout 2020 and beyond is a unique event in many ways. It's possibly the first event to capture the attention of the entire planet for a prolonged period of time in the modern, digitally connected age. My 15-year-old daughter said poignantly, "Dad, I think this is the first thing I've lived through that my kids will ask me about." And she's probably correct. Now, allow me to share an observation. And in doing so, I'm at pains to point out that compared to the suffering and challenges wrought by COVID, this is a comparatively minor aspect of the pandemic. But as a mathematician, it was amazing to see the vast bulk of the general population as one obsessed with mathematical modeling and data. Every day for weeks, people were reading up on reinfection rates, looking at the number of cases suddenly skyrocketing in countries where they'd been low only weeks before, comparing the shape of two curves and realizing that by flattening one, the two curves may still cover the same area, but crucially, the maximum of one is much lower than that of the other. And bizarrely, I suddenly found myself taking radio interviews explaining the mathematics that underpins COVID. So I wanted to share with you an insight into one of the aspects of the maths that is both beautiful and powerful. I'm talking about the mathematics of exponential growth. You see, there's more than one way that things can grow. If I'm building a wall and I'm laying 20 bricks an hour, every hour, and I should point out I've never laid a brick in my life, or have a clue what to do, no idea if 20 bricks an hour is impressive or embarrassingly amateur, probably should have looked it up online. Anyway, if I'm laying 20 bricks an hour, the wall will grow at a steady rate. After 1 hour, 20 bricks. After 2 hours, 40, then 60, 80, 100. You can graph the number of bricks in the wall and you'll see that it increases at a rate that can be charted with a straight line. We call this linear growth, linear reflecting that straight line. But think instead about the money you have in the bank earning interest. Well, think back to the good old days when money in the bank used to earn interest. If you receive 5% interest per year, yeah, right, and had $100 in the bank at the end of the first year, your $100 would grow by $5. But after the second year, your balance does not grow by another $5. The balance grows by 5% of how large the balance currently is. So the 5% hits the 105 and you earn $5.25 interest. The amount of growth depends on how much was there at the time. And over time, the amount of new money, the interest itself, grows, as opposed to the new bricks, which grew at a flat 20 per hour. And the amazing thing about exponential growth is this. While the second amount of interest, the $5.25, seems only a tiny improvement on the first amount of $5, over time, this growth in growth can become massive. If you left that $100 in the account at 5% for 100 years, it would have grown to over $13,150. The interest alone in that last year would not be $5, not $5.25, but $626.20. This sort of growth, where the increase itself increases as the amount present grows, where you grow depending on how much is already there and not just at a steady, flat rate, is called exponential growth. And when the rate of growth is a bit heftier than, say, 5%, things can really take off quickly. There's a famous legend that illustrates the power of exponential growth. Let me give you a version. A brave warrior returns to the kingdom having defeated his nation's worst enemy on the field of battle. The queen of the kingdom calls the warrior into her palace and says, "Oh, brave and noble warrior, you've shown such bravery," and blah, 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 blah. Basically, she says, "What would you like as a reward? You can have anything." The warrior looks around the room. Turns out the queen is pretty cultured and doesn't mind the occasional game of chess. He spies the chessboard and says to the queen, "You can pay me in grains of rice." "Rice?" she says. "But I've gold and weapons and the latest Xbox." She didn't say that, just seeing if you're paying attention. But the brave warrior asks for rice. "My queen, please, place one grain of rice on the first square of the chessboard. Place two grains on the second square, four on the third, eight on the fourth, and just keep doubling the grains of rice on each square. Please, just fill the chessboard. That's all I ask. That will make me happy." The queen can't believe she's got out of this for such a bargain and shakes on the deal. Now, this mythical queen isn't the only person in imaginary history to not understand the power of exponential growth, but she is perhaps the first to make believe lose her non-existent empire over that ignorance. See, there are only small amounts of rice on the initial squares. Let's calculate these powers of two. The first square has 1 grain of rice. The second square has 2 grains of rice. Then 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, and on the 11th square, there'd be 1,024 grains. Now, 1,000 could be a large number in some circumstances, but in terms of grains of rice, nah. There's about 8,500 grains of rice in a basic cup. So let's keep going. On the 12th square of the chessboard, we'd place 2,048 grains, then 4,096, and 8,192. So here we are on the 14th square of the chessboard, and we're giving away only a cup of rice. At this stage, the queen would probably still have thought she was onto a bargain. After all, a cup of rice isn't all that much. But she shouldn't be looking at the size of a cup of rice. She should be looking at how big a cup of rice is compared to the single grain of rice on the first square. Then she should be looking at how much closer the 14th square is to the beginning of the board than it is to the end. And then she should be frantically trying to renegotiate the deal. Now, I won't keep calculating the powers of 2 all the way up to 2 to the power of 63. Oh, I'd love to, but I accept I'd probably lose you. Let's do some simple calculations here instead. From square 1 to 11, we jump 10 squares, and the number of grains of rice are grown by a factor of 1,024. Let's simplify that to 1,000. But the observation that 2 to the power of 10 is pretty much 1,000 means that by square 21, our 1,000 or so grains of rice would have grown by another factor of 1,000 to about 1 million grains. One calculation I saw online suggested there are roughly 50,000 grains of rice in a kilo. So on square 21, the queen's dropping about 20 kilos of the good stuff as her way of saying thank you. Again, 20 kilos of rice is a small price to pay for the safety of your people. And our exponentially ignorant queen may have thought, we're almost a third of the way up the board. This is a great deal. But let's push on. In another 10 squares, by square 31, we've grown by another factor of 1,000. So the 1 million or so grains of rice on square 21 have exploded to roughly 1 billion grains of rice on square 31. Our 20 kilos of rice has become something like 20 tons. And we're not even halfway up the board. Continuing to grow at a factor of roughly 1,000 each 10 squares, at square 41, we drop over 1 trillion grains of rice. At square 51, we're up to 1 quadrillion. And by the 61st square, the queen is desperately asking around for 1 quintillion, or this many, grains of rice. Just to rub things in, there are still 3 squares to go on the chessboard, so this amount increases by 2. 2 times 2 is 4. Times 2 is 8. So in total, across the board, the good queen is up for grains of rice. This massive number. Now online, I've seen various descriptions of this amount of rice. Get the impression it depends on the variety of rice. Long grain, normal, sushi rice. Look, I'm no rice expert. But given that one calculation I read suggested this would be all the rice production worldwide for the next decade, should explain to you how the imaginary queen lost her fictitious empire to this make-believe warrior. All because she didn't understand the very real implications of the power of exponential growth. So how does this translate to the real world? Well, in the case of COVID in my home state of New South Wales in Australia, and it was all happening very quickly, so the data was not perfect, but I can clearly remember the moment where we thought that the rate of new cases had fallen from 25% growth per day to more like 10%. What does that mean? On the face of it, comparing 25 to 10, well, 25 is clearly bigger. To be precise, it's 2.5 times as large. So is a 25% daily growth rate for infections 2.5 times as bad as 10% growth? Well, no. Just like the grains of rice that doubled, then doubled again and doubled and doubled and kept on doubling, a 25% growth rate is 2.5 times as bad as 10%, then 2.5 times as bad again and again and again. Let me explain. If something grows at 25% a day, then over a few days, 1 becomes 1.25, and rounding the amount to 2 decimal places becomes 1.56, becomes 1.95. You've essentially doubled in 3 days. At a growth rate of 10% per day, 1 becomes 1.1 after day 1, then 1.21, 1.33, 1.46, 1.61, 1.77, 1.95. You can see it takes 7 days to again essentially double the initial 1. In this case, landing on 1.95, almost exactly the same amount as the 25% growth rate, hit after 3 days. So under the more aggressive growth scenario, 25% increase per day, the number of infections doubles roughly every 3 days. Under the milder growth rate of 10%, it takes more like 7 days to double. Well, comparing 3 to 7, again, the higher growth rate seems about 2 and a bit times as bad. It's not great, but it doesn't sound exactly catastrophic, does it? But let's see what happens when that doubling goes on and on. You can think of a month as 30 days. That's 10 intervals of 3 days. And it's 4 and a bit weeks, or 4 and a bit 7-day stretches. So what happens to these two growth scenarios if we play them out over a month? If a quantity doubles every 7 days, an initial amount of 1, say 1 person infected with coronavirus, would double by day 7 to an amount of 2. This would double again in a week, so that by day 14 we'd have an amount of 4, by day 21 we'd have an amount of 8, by day 28 the 8 would have become 16. And with 2 extra days in our 30-day month, we'd now be on our way to 32 infections, and we'd be somewhere around 20. But if under a more aggressive growth scenario, an amount doubles not every 7, but every 3 days, let's see what happens to our initial amount of 1. Well, by day 3, it would have doubled to 2. By day 6, our 2 would double to 4. And it would hit 8 on day 9, 16 by day 12. And like those grains of rice on the chessboard, the doubling just takes off. By day 30, we've had 10 rounds of doubling. Our initial case has now exploded to 1,024 infections. So over a month, the difference between daily growth of 10% and 25% is closer to the difference between 20 times the amount of disease in the community and 1,000 times. It's not 2.5 times as bad, it's more like 50 times as bad. Now, it has to be said that when you're talking about a real virus in a real community where we don't have an infinite number of people, and where those who have been infected can't get infected again, and where the 25% growth rate is a bit of a guess because it's early days and you're not sure if everyone who is sick is showing up in hospital, and so on and so on. Obviously, the mathematics isn't as clean as the example I've given you here. But despite that, you should be able to see the power of exponential growth and the importance of getting on top of the rate of spread of a disease early. This is why, in a country like the United States, for example, what seems a small handful of cases initially and a small increase in the actual number day by day early on can actually be masking a rapidly growing problem that in just 2 months becomes 100,000 deaths. Now, I stress, every one of these deaths is a human story, and I don't wish in any way to detract from that in talking about the mathematics. But hopefully, this video has shown you the power of exponential growth and why it is so important to understand when you're trying to model and defeat something like COVID-19.